Well, good morning. I am Janet Russell, and I am the pastor of Christian Formation and Community Life here. And that's a real mouthful, but it just means that I work in all things adult ministry. It includes our Life Together Hour, 11 to noon. It includes small groups, our welcome ministry, and a lot more. And I do have the privilege of bringing the word of the Lord this morning. So Stephen and I, we've been doing a mini series. This is the second week of a two-part series focusing on BLESS, which is an acronym from our denomination that it's their new approach to prayer and evangelism. So don't shut down because I just said the dreaded word evangelism. This is not about memorizing the four spiritual laws. It's not about passing out tracts or going door to door. It's all about how we can love our neighbors well. So BLESS is not an add-on to our spiritual life. It is fundamental to the call that we have from our God. It is fundamental to who we are as people who have been blessed by God. Last week, Stephen challenged us with an image of rogue planets. And you really do have to listen if you missed it. It was a wonderful sermon, Stephen. And he encouraged us to think about what attracted us to Jesus and what continues to attract us to Jesus. Most of us were not attracted to Jesus by being beat over the head by doctrine. I was attracted by the winsomeness of two young men who lived in my dorms at university. They were kind and joyful, and there was something different about them. For one thing, they didn't do the same things that all my friends were doing on Friday and Saturday nights, but they had something special. And I longed for it. And when they invited me to a small group Bible study and I heard about what it meant to live for Christ, I was all in. And today, we're going to go back to basics. Why are we called to bless? What does God intend for us as his people? And we're going to talk about some ways that we can live it out. So let's start with prayer. Lord, we thank you for the privilege we have to learn from your word. We thank you that through it you reveal yourself, your heart, and what you desire for us. So give us alertness, give us attentiveness to hear what you have for us this morning. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of the word? And it will. You can look in your Bibles, it's Genesis 12, 1 through 3, or it will be up on the screens as well. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. You may be seated. So in the ancient world, the world of Abram, there were very few atheists. Everything was attributed to the gods. It was either the goodwill of the god or the anger of the gods. If it rained, it was God's favor. If it rained too much, it was because the gods were angry. The challenge was there was no way to know ahead of time what was going to please the gods or what was going to get them upset. So there was a Sumerian prayer that was found carved on a stone tablet that expresses some of the exasperation of not even knowing who to pray to and the exasperation of not knowing what to do. So this should be up on the slides as well. And this is just a snippet of this prayer that was found. "May the wrath of the heart of my God be pacified. May the God who is unknown be pacified. May the goddess who is unknown be pacified. May the known and unknown God be be pacified. May the known and unknown goddess be pacified. The sin which I committed, I know not. Although I am constantly looking for help, no one takes my hand. When I weep, they do not come to my side. I utter laments, but no one hears me. I am troubled. I am overwhelmed. I cannot see. Reminds me of what Paul expressed, that longing for help that we sang of earlier. But man is dumb. He knows nothing. Mankind, everyone that exists, what does he know? Whether he's committing sin or doing good, he does not even know. This is the world that Abram lived in. This is a world without revelation. This is a world without knowledge of the living God. And to avoid confusion, I just want to say that Abram was the name that was used before God changed his name to Abraham, which we're more familiar with. But the people of Abram's time, we can probably assume this is true of Abram himself, believed in lots of gods. They were connected to nature, they were connected to the land, they were connected to the people groups. The gods did not communicate directly with these people. They didn't communicate anything about who they were. So the people tended to fill in the gaps. And they thought of the gods as in images of themselves, that they were beings who could be manipulated to respond as you wished. So a commentator, John H. Walton, he wrote, "You expressed your worship by flattering, cajoling, humoring, and appeasing the gods as best you could." But Abram, at 75 years old, encountered the living God Yahweh. And God told Abram to leave his country, to leave his people, and to leave his father's household, to go to a land that God would show him. And this story is so familiar to many of us that we tend to pass it by and not realize how extraordinary it is. A personal God speaks to Abram. The chapter before this tells us about the building of the Tower of Babel and God confusing the languages and scattering the people across the earth. And now he comes and he speaks to Abram. And he calls him to trust him and to leave all he knows and promises to bless him. Abram is to leave his country. Now, the gods were associated with the lands that they lived in and the tribes of the families. If Abram leaves his country, if he leaves that land, he's leaving the gods that were associated with that land. And he will no longer be considered under their protection, such as it was. Abram is called to leave his people, all that is familiar to him. At the end of the chapter 11, there's this genealogy, which showed the fulfillment of that Genesis 1 promise, to be fruitful and to multiply. But then in verse 11:30, it bluntly states, "Now Sarai was barren, she had no children." Abram's wife Sarai, who was later known as Sarah, was infertile. So when they were called to leave the people and having no children, they left with no safety net. There was no security, no protection in old age. No one to bury you. No one to carry on your family line. And Abram is called to leave his father's household, which in our day, you would think at age 75, it might be time to leave the nest. But to leave his father's household and go 500 miles away was to leave his inheritance. The gods were passed down from generation to generation. Abram would leave those family gods behind. He would leave his material inheritance of land or wealth. He would leave behind his place in the family line, the responsibilities and the blessings that entailed. But God doesn't ask him to give up anything that he's not going to replace. He may walk away from his country, but God promises him land. He may walk away from his people, but God promises to make him a great nation. And in spite of Sarai's infertility, later God promises that he will make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And he may walk away from his father's household and his inheritance, but God promises he will bless Abram. And blessing implies protection and security and provision. God will make his name great. God says he will bless Abram, and that Abram will be a blessing. He will be a channel of blessing. And the peoples on the earth, all the peoples of the earth, will be blessed through Abram. Why did God choose Abram and all of his people to follow him? They weren't especially special or holy. In fact, in the later chapters in the books of the Bible, they crash and burn on a pretty regular basis. But we don't know why. But he chose Abram and his people to bless others and to bless all the peoples of the earth. And the obvious way that they did that was they gave us Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate blessing, that he died on the cross for our sins. They made a way for us to be in relationship with God. His death allows us to know life for all eternity with the personal, holy God. There can be no greater blessing than that. But was it all about Jesus? How did God want Abram, the person Abram, to bless others? How did he want the Hebrew people from the time of Abram to Jesus to bless others? The theologian John H. Walton proposes that the covenant promise is not just about God entering into relationship with Abram and his people. It's not just about redemption through Jesus Christ. It is about the living God wanting to reveal himself and who he is to the world. God calls Abram to trust him, to leave all he knows, to leave his family and the gods of his forefathers, to go to this new land, creating a new people that the living God will bless. And he's not going to bless him just with land and material goods and family, but he is going to bless Abram by revealing himself to Abram. And he desires Abram to bless others not just by being nice to them, but by revealing who God is to them. And again through the scripture, we read about God's desire to be known for who he is. Joshua 4, he says, he did this that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Isaiah, then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Ezekiel, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Sovereign Lord, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord. God was revealed through the law, through the prophets, through the scripture written by the Jews, and he was revealed in how he showed himself in relationship to those that lived with him. And of course, Jesus is the climax. He's the ultimate revelation of who God is. He is the image of the invisible God. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Jesus Christ blessed us and revealed God to us, not just through his death, but he blessed us through his life as well. His teaching, his healing, by showing us a different way of living. He revealed the character and the heart of God by who he was and what he did and what he said. So here we are today, focusing on BLESS. That's the acronym, BLESS. This is an initiative. But why? Why is this important? Because we have been so blessed. We have been blessed to be called by Jesus Christ, to have been saved from sin and death. We've been blessed by the giving of the Holy Spirit coming to live in us and among us. He comforts, he guides, he enables, he gives gifts. He pours out his character into our lives so that we can please God and serve others. We have been blessed with a hope that this world is not all there is, that we can look forward to a day when it will all be set right, and we can live in intimate communion with God and with one another forever. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we have the same call as Abram. The Christian church is the new Israel, and we have the same call that Israel did, to be a blessing to all the peoples of the earth, that they will be blessed through us. And how do we do that? By revealing who God is, by what we do, who we are, and what we say. The prophet Isaiah has God proclaiming that we are to be a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That is our call, church. That is our call, to reveal the living God to a world who so desperately needs him. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey says that we are to view ourselves not just as beneficiaries of grace, but of agents of grace. We are not to be collectors, but dispensers. We are not to be cisterns, we're to be aqueducts. Ray Stedman, in his book, the old book, Body Life, said, to live above with the saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with the saints we know, well, that's a different story. But you know, my experience has been very different. I have experienced such tremendous love and blessing from you, from the people of this church. Last week, Mark and I, we moved to a new home, and we had a crew of folks that came and helped us. They carried heavy furniture and boxes, and a bunch of women helped set up the kitchen, and they were even given a great big bowl of soup that kept us fed all week long. It was amazing. And again, I have experienced your selfless service, your grace, forgiveness, your compassionate love. But for many of us, and this is certainly not all of us, but for many of us, I think it's easier to serve within the church, to bless one another, when we know it is safe, that it'll be received well. It may even be reciprocated. But it's more difficult to be in deep relationship with those outside of the church, because they may not understand our motives. They may reject us. They may take advantage of us. It takes time. It takes more energy. We are promoting Reframe. I hope you have not missed that. It's going to begin next week. But here is just a little nugget from the first lesson. Paul Williams, a professor at Regent College, he says, we assimilate and become indistinguishable from everything and everyone around us, or we withdraw, where we may be distinct, but we end up irrelevant. Both are true, but the second one is applicable here. We withdraw, where we may be distinct, but we end up irrelevant. The Bless Initiative is a practical reminder not to withdraw. It is a reminder to engage with the people around us that God has placed all around us, communicating who God is through specific ways of expressing care and concern, as well as with our words. Recognizing that there are a lot of different ways to bless others. You can be involved in the community and in social justice, and I'm not saying that those things are not important. We are just focusing today on those specific ways that we can have an impact on those people in our current circles of relationships, how we can love those who do not yet know Christ. So, to reiterate what BLESS, the acronym stands for, we begin with prayer. Now, you have in your worksheet, in your bulletins, there's a little inside page. And it talks about your list of relationships, and they call it FRANC, F-R-A-N-C. And that's just friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, and classmates. These are the folks that we want to be praying for. And we can start just by praying, Lord, how do you want me to be praying for them? How do you want me to be a blessing to these people? The second one is listen with care. There is no better way to honor a human being than to truly listen well to them. I can't remember where I got this quote from, but I've used it when I've trained people in growing spiritual friendships and mentoring. But it says, to love is to listen, to hear is to care. To love is to listen. To listen to dreams and pain, to listen for evidence of God's work, to listen so we can learn better how to bless someone. And the next one is eat together. Not many of us are really very good initiators this way. But there's something profound that happens when we open our homes and we eat a meal together. Something very profound. And the next is serve with love. And this is what we often think of when we think of blessing someone, is we do something for them. But this is to come in the midst of relationship, of praying and listening and spending time together, which is really the more challenging bit, I think, especially if you're of the more introverted sort. Being in real relationships where we can see those real needs. When we spend that time together, we have a better clue how we can really be a blessing. The next one is share your story. And as Stephen talked about last week, this is what we normally think of as evangelism, the talking about it. And it's probably what we most feel fearful about. We worry that we won't know what to say. We'll worry that it might be rejected, that we don't know enough. Maybe even worse, we worry that they'll laugh at us. But when we've prayed and listened and spent time together, it's the natural outgrowth. It's to share who you are, to share what's important to you, to share about the one who has impacted your life, to share about those great blessings that you have experienced. That's the story that we have to share. People can debate doctrine, but they can't argue with your story. They can't argue with just sharing what you've experienced. And there are great resources on the Covenant website. I think this was going to be in your bulletin, but it's up here. They've got all kinds of resources to go through the whole acronym to help you with this. It's on the front of your bulletin. But I have to be honest with you. Sometimes this is tough to do. I mentioned last week that we moved to a new home, and I loved my neighbors. We'd been there 33 years. And if you know someone who wants to buy a house in a great neighborhood, talk to us afterwards. They were wonderful, but it took a long time to develop those relationships. And now we have to start all over again. And sometimes it can be the most difficult to build those kind of relationships with those who are closest to us. My father is 98 years old, and he has lived his life as if he is immortal. A few weeks ago, he renewed his driver's license for 6 years, and he bought himself a car. You may not want to drive in the North Seattle area, I'm just saying. But about a week after that, we found out that he has a very aggressive prostate cancer that has spread. And he has enjoyed amazingly good health all of his life. He has a very sharp mind still. But he's not a believer, and he is terrified of ill health, of pain, and of dying. And this has not improved his disposition or the way he has treated his family. In writing this sermon, I had to think about, how do I bless my father in this new season of his life? How do I pray for him now? How can I listen to his fears and his concerns? How can I eat with him and just spend time with him? Because I don't want him driving up here, I'll just tell you that. How can I serve him with love? How can I share my story with him again when he might be ready to receive it? Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying." When we think of evangelism, we tend to think about just our words, don't we? But our actions tend to thunder over our words, especially if they're incongruent. Hopefully, as we recognize how blessed we are in Christ, as we let Jesus have his way in us, who we are, what we do, what we say, they're going to create a beautiful harmony that reveals who God is to this world that so desperately needs him. So I've shared just a little bit of my pondering on what this means for me. But we're going to give you time, as Paul said, to think about it for you, who those people are in your life. So pull out your list for Frank. And then what we're going to do is, well, in this bless folder they gave you, there are two columns. And we'll have you pick those folks that you really feel like God is saying, these are the folks I want you to be blessing in your life. Hopefully it's everyone, but sometimes it helps to have that extra little prompt. And this outside one, you're going to tear off, and later Paul will invite you to bring them forward to lay on the tables to be prayed over. The inside one is for you to take home and tear off and put someplace you'll see it so that you will be reminded of your commitments here. But first, let me transition with prayer, and then we'll move into the time our worship team will come and lead us, have some music for us, to time to pray and to think. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you, and we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your compassion to us. We thank you for the salvation that we know through Jesus Christ, and that he died on the cross for us. But we also thank you for how you revealed yourself through his life, through your word, through your people, through your spirit within us. We have been truly, truly blessed. But we don't want to hoard that. We want to share what we have so generously received. We want to express who you are to those around us. So we pray for this time. We pray that you would reveal to each one of us who and how you might have us bless. Help us to hear you clearly and to respond to your prompting. We pray this in your powerful name. Amen. So we'll give you some space, and then Paul will invite you to bring them forward.